Hello, everybody. This is your host, Charles Cook, here at the Immigration Hour from Cook Baxter. It is great to be with you again. It's a beautiful Wednesday, May 17th, 2023. And I wanted to talk today about the cryptic announcement made by the USCIS, DHS, and Department of State about new, quote, processing centers for migrants in Central and South America. And what this means. Announcement was made a couple of weeks ago by the Biden administration that they're going to open these centers that will let migrants and people that want to immigrate to America apply to come to the US illegally as a part of an effort to drive down illegal immigration. So the idea is instead of going to the Mexican border and really at this point getting an expedited removal order, go to the processing center and maybe they can figure something out. Now, there's no official announcement. These were three senior administration officials that talked to the press, but they don't have anything on this on their website. Now, their website has other things we'll get to in a second about some variation of this for certain people. But this gives the impression that the United States government, along with international organizations partnering with the US, UNCAR, Canadian government, I don't know. Nobody seems to know. So they will speak to, quote, specialists, some of whom will be clearly be USCIS employees, others will be international aid workers. And if they're eligible after screening, they'll be referred for refugee resettlement or, quote, other lawful pathways, close quote, which include parole, family reunification, which we'll talk about in a second, or existing labor pathways, which is your H-2A, H-2B, EB-3. So basically, this to me sounds like the United States government is setting up a notario shop in a couple different countries, and it looks like they're also going to try to give and provide information at our centers for pathways to resettle in Canada, Spain, or other countries within Latin America. I mean, I understand why they're doing this. This is clearly done to avoid the rush of people coming from places like Peru, which very few people are going to get asylum from Peru. I mean, I've talked to a dozen families so far that have come up from Peru because their business was extorted by a gang. Zero chance of asylum. And they didn't relocate in the country. They called the police, but they left because the quote, police don't do anything, but they didn't fight. They didn't organize. They didn't, I mean, it's zero chance you're going to get asylum for that. Zero. I said, look, you're going to lose 100%. And it looks like they're expediting those cases. So this is a way to, I mean, I get why Biden's doing this. It makes sense in a way. But really, all they're doing is bringing knowledge of the US immigration system abroad. These centers aren't necessarily going to solve any crisis whatsoever. And my guess is once word gets out that there is really, you don't get anything from this, they give you a pamphlet to go to Canada, that these are probably not going to be very busy. But we'll see. Now, if this is done in conjunction with doing things like expanding parole, so if a Venezuelan shows up in Colombia, hey, who do you know in the United States that can sponsor you for parole? Boom. Or a Haitian shows up, or a Cuban shows up, or a Nicaraguense shows up in Guatemala. Hey, let's match a willing U.S. citizen or permanent resident who's willing to go sponsor you. And this actually is a really interesting thing because if private companies or private employed private individuals, they say, look, I need workers. So if I sponsor 10 workers, 10 people to come work for me outside of as a parole program, outside of the normal H-2 and H-2B program, I don't have to do that. I mean, you're not technically saying you're going to take care of people forever. You don't have a contract with the United States government. It's not an 864. It's just an I-134. This might be a very interesting way to bring people here. So we'll see. But here's the thing. Even though they announced it at the end of April, they kind of talked to the press end of April, they don't have anything in place yet. They don't have anything in place yet for this. And because they don't have anything in place for this yet, I'm seeing people come to the office asking me about how to qualify for the program. And I'm saying there is no program. there isn't a program. It doesn't exist yet. And because there's no program that doesn't exist yet, I send them on their way and say, when you hear some more information about it, let me know and I'll tell you what to do, or I'll contact you when I have more information. But for right now, you know, all you can do is hope and pray. Lots of hope and prayers. But there is something that DHS did announce officially on the USCIS website. And this is called the Family Reunification Parole Process. Now, this is new. So what they're going to do, they're going to have parole unification for nationals of Colombia, El Salvador, Guatemala, and Honduras, and their immediate family members who have been approved for family-based petitions filed by a U.S. citizen or resident. Now, keep in mind, if a brother files for you, and you know that's a brother to a citizen, that's a 20-year wait, 15, 20 years. If your dad files for you and you're married abroad, that's a 15-year wait. If you're a permanent resident and you sponsor a spouse, that's a 5-year wait right now. So this says, hey, if you're one of those people, and it includes, so again, Guatemala, Honduras, El Salvador, Colombia, Cuba, and Haiti. Now, interestingly enough, not Venezuela, which is weird, but Venezuela has its own parole program. So this reunification program that already exists for Cubans in some sense will be for all these six countries. It's odd that it's Colombia, right? When they're launched, and they're not launched, quote, certain vetted individuals with already approved family-based I-130s will be considered upon invitation for parole to the United States on a case-by-case basis while they wait for their immigrant visa. You get a travel document. Once you come here, you get a work permit. Now, here's the deal. Here's where it gets really tricky. The USCIS is sitting on several million unadjudicated I-130s for siblings, for brothers and sisters, for adult married children, millions of them. So what does this mean? We're going to have to start suing the government. I don't think they think these things through. I really don't think they think these things through. They not realize that they're sitting on millions of these cases. They've already been paid for, and so they've wasted that money. They don't have any more money to adjudicate those with, and now they're going to be forced to adjudicate them? I mean, I have clients that filed in 2010 that don't have their approvals yet because immigration decided, why do it? So this is going to be an interesting. This also impacts the issue of the Child Status Protection Act. Let's say you apply for your brother in 2010, and the oldest child aged out in 2015, but they didn't age out because the I-130 froze his time in place. So as soon as that I-130 is approved, the time starts ticking again, and you've saved that time that it was pending. Will you get to the front of the line before your priority date is current and you don't age out? So there's a lot going on here as part of this. But here's what they said. You have to get an invitation. So you can't just voluntarily apply. You have to get an invitation from the National Visa Center, which means the I-130's got to approve. So if you have clients, I'm mostly talking to lawyers here. If you have clients from these six countries and they have pending I-130s for years, possibly, you need to be now filing mandamus actions to get those I-130s approved so they can be eligible to be invited under this program. They say more information in mid-June. Well, it's never too late to sue the government. It's also never too early, I think, to sue the government. But here, this is going to be one of those cases where there's going to be a lot of litigation filed as part of this program. It's, not thought out. I don't think they really realize the overall implications of this. But at the end of the day, this is what's going to go on. So I wanted to just talk about that briefly in today's brief podcast, because this is, I think, going to have a big impact over the next couple of years. Obviously, it would end as soon as Trump was president. If he becomes president again, or another Republican wins, they'll end this program. But this could serve as a basis to lower the pressure on the border as part, this family reunification parole process, part of the bigger centers opening up. And especially if they say anybody in the world qualifies for this. And why aren't Mexicans in this? This is insane. Mexicans have the longest waiting lines. Excuse me. I have COVID, by the way. So I'm broadcasting from my house today of COVID. This is important news, but we just don't have enough of it quite yet. But because I have COVID, I'm going to end my show early today so I don't keep coughing. I'll be back next week for our next podcast, and maybe we'll have some more follow-up on this at that time. Till then, this is your host, Chuck Cook, on the Immigration Hour from Cook Baxter Immigration. Have a great day. Bye-bye.